The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
This morning and welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Wednesday, the 2nd of November 2022, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. And joining me this morning is Mr. Cecil Newry from Guardian Radio AM. And we are having another mashup Wednesday. Right now, listen, I use the term mashup because that's what the young people did use when we was young, right? I don't know if any of y'all have heard the famous Beatles Wu-Tang Clan mashup album, perhaps one of the best hip-hop albums of all time. So we're going to mash up some perspectives, mash up some ideas, and since we like to call it Man Down Wednesday, maybe I get to mash up some man today. I'm only joking. But joining me in studio today, of course, is my co-host for the Mashup Wednesday, Mr. Cecil Newry.
And have this two-hour show, so I'm happy again.
Yeah, man, thank you. And joining us in studio again are our guests for this Mashup Wednesday, Mr. Ian Munnings.
Pleasure to be here, as always. Man down.
And Mr. Luby George.
Good morning, guys. Pleasure to be here. Good morning, Bahamas.
Absolutely. So, there's a lot of topics to talk about. I think we want to talk about migration. We're going to get there. But there's some other things in the newspaper I think are worthy of discussion. So I'm going to throw them out there, and let's see what we bite on, what we want to talk about. So yesterday was full of action, right? Loan negotiating and political machinations and meetings. And, oh, you almost thought it was election time. It wasn't. It's far more serious than election time. We are in the midst of negotiations between the Bahamas Pharmaceutical Association and the Grocers Retail Association and the government over amendments to the price control regulations, right? And yesterday, we were all faced with something I think we did not expect to see again after the lifting of the lockdowns, which was all pharmacies, or the virtually all pharmacies were closed in New Providence yesterday. If you picked up yesterday's Guardian, if you haven't, you can go online right now and find it. That's Tuesday, the 1st of November. The headline is Shutdown. I'm going to read briefly from that article. After receiving no response from the government over its proposal to changes to the price control list, the Bahamas Pharmaceutical Association yesterday advised its members across the country to temporarily close their doors starting Tuesday. Minister of Economic Affairs Michael Halkidis confirmed that the government will begin enforcing those changes to the price control list on Tuesday. In his name, that's yesterday, in his national address on October 11th, the Prime Minister announced changes to price control items, including the reduction of the profit margin on price control drugs, providing additional relief to Bahamians, and the addition of 38 categories of items to price control. The deadline for enforcement was previously relaxed. Night before last, the Retail Grocers Association said because it had no conclusive response from the government to its proposals, all prices shall remain unchanged until the conclusion of the ongoing consultative process. And I think what we saw yesterday, gentlemen, was the pharmacies did shut down, virtually all of them. I think even in the midst of this negotiations. People were pleased to see the doctor's hospital kept their pharmacy open for sort of catastrophic care. I think we really appreciate that, taking into account the potential negative impact of what may, in fact, be a necessary action, you know, and so that was great to see. But as of last night, the Bahamas Pharmaceutical Association released a statement indicating that they have confirmed a meeting with the relevant state authorities today at, I think, 4 p.m. Today at 4 p.m. and that all member pharmacies will be open today, November the 2nd, 2022. And so the first question I think we throw out onto the table is, do you support the government's position or the retailer's position? Or do you think there's another position we just or solution we just haven't identified yet?
I guess I'll start. Aaron, since I'm like co-hosting, so I guess seniority.
I only call it co-hosting because I want to be polite. I think you're the host and I'm the host too.
He has seniority.
Okay,
but I mean, he have children, so whatever the man wants.
There you go. There you go. But see, this is a complex situation, and I think that it's not proper to make it black and white. The government has a duty of care to take care of its citizens. I understand and appreciate that the government is trying to create an environment where cost isn't too expensive or and that goods are not attainable. This situation with the pharmacists is coupled with the situation with the grocers at the same time because they too are experiencing a forced price fixed, for lack of better words. Mm-hmm. The problem I have is the process. And I think our government is eager to fix the situation, or the situation is kind of dire or important. And because of politics, that they have abandoned the process or did not go through the full process of consulting, negotiating, taking advice from the persons who their change will be infected, affecting. Mm-hmm. Right. In regards to the pharmacist first, right? I would assume that you make an announcement that we have or we want to put a fixed price or a cap on certain items on you pharmacists. We're going to give you the list of things that we plan to put the price cap on. We would like your response on it. These are the reason why we're doing this. This is the overall overarching objective. You do a counter proposal, and then we will conclude. That did not happen. Mm-hmm. So, of course, the pharmacists got upset. Mm-hmm. Rightly so, because this is their business. And being a free market economy, I assume, it doesn't seem as if we are free market. It's this new narrative of what can the government do and how what all can the price can control. It seems to be insulting to business owners. And all business owners should be concerned because it seems as if this is a new trend and a new culture that the government plans to implement moving to the future. That perhaps all businesses can find themselves where the government is trying to cap their profit, where the government is trying to fix their profit moving forward, right? And I am concerned that there wasn't enough consultation for the grocers also to give and especially when the government asks for a response, and they give a deadline. And they give a deadline that say, come Monday, which was Monday gone, yeah, and say that, if you do not have your price capped to what I said earlier, right, you will get fined. You will be fined and fined severely. And then knowing that this group sent a proposal, a counter proposal, saying, well, this is what we propose and this is what we could live with. Can you consider this? And knowing that the fine has already taken place, it seems heavy-handed. It seems heavy-handed. So I'm kind of concerned that the pharmacists decided to withdraw their labor. But I believe in labor showing their assertiveness and saying, this is what I do.
Yeah.
Right? It can't be, you know, when you come from a history of slavery.
Like even fancy labor have the right
have a to right protest. To control their labor and the right to protest and the right to say, ouch, I hurt what you're doing to me is hurting me. Yeah. Therefore, I'm looking for some subsidy or some remedy for it. And I think that discussion needs to be had. And I see there are a number of sycophants and a number of persons. You see, they're now demonizing business people. They're demonizing the grocers and saying they're only looking for profit. And that's not necessarily so. They're in the business. And the business is for profit. Right? The pharmacists are in the business of making money. So they are in the business for profit. Our government have their own system where they too have their own pharmacists. And if they want to lower prices and say, I'm going to do this for the populace, they could go in their own pharmacies and say, hey, the private pharmacies are selling this for $20, but from now on, I can send this for $5, and the supply and demand and competition will force the pharmacists to lower their price in order to compete with government. This is not happening, and then I just wanted to say that.
Absolutely. Boy. Okay, Luby, you can go next. Let me just throw this in here. I feel you. I'm thinking about it from the agricultural perspective, right? I think the price of local produce is inflated. Even given the energy crisis and the inflated price of electricity and then the generation of water on the farms, right? The limited market size, all of that, I still think local produce is overinflated. I think that we should regulate the price of local produce when the market doesn't self-regulate. And then I think that value-added products, you do what you want with them. You want to make banana cash?
Agriculture is labor intensive. They have to pay out money. How do you control the price of corn when you put so much into it to produce it?
Well, why would you just grow corn for hogs? If you know you can't sell it in the market you're in. Why spend all that money to grow corn for hogs?
But then I'll change it to onions. Since there's a market for onions. However, some of the onions we grow are too big. And then they can't be sold because we're talking about the demand for the food stores. Selling it retail to farmers who come by and say, well, I like that big onion in the same when you need that bulk to be purchased by the food stores.
The market is there. Everybody like onion rings. Big onions make good onion rings. The market is there. It's just about innovation and imagination.
Onion for seasoning, man. Who's eating onion rings?
Oh my goodness! Well, it's the time. Where for you me live? To, time for me to start. Listen, I see anybody who's drive around the Marathon Mall areas eat onion rings. Oh. I'm telling you, buddy. Everybody's eat onion rings. Anyway, I think that we could regulate agriculture, the raw product, and then let people do whatever with value-added product. You know, you add value, could put any price you want on it. But Luby, let's get back to the question: retailer side, government side, or there's no side to be had unless it's the people's side.
Well, you know, for me, I'm not necessarily taking a side. I kind of understand all sides, and that is why I'm not picking a side. But I would, if I had to, and if I was forced to, I would agree more with CA's positions and what he brought forth. Mm-hmm. There's just too many questions left out there, too many stones left unturned, right? Mm-hmm. When you talk about this price cap, you know, we're now hearing that it is on certain pharmaceutical products. What are those pharmaceutical products? We're not even aware of those as the general public. Mind you, if you know somebody who knows somebody, you may be able to find that information, but it's not out there in the general public sphere, all right? Mm-hmm. So how do I know now that if not the pharmacies decided to shut down on products that the government decided to put a price cap on, that doesn't probably even affect, you know, persons on a daily basis. You know, this is maybe some of the rare items or for rare diseases or rare cases of emergencies. I don't know. You see what I'm saying? So because there's just so many questions that needs answers for, I can't really necessarily take a position. Now, I heard the Pharmaceutical Association, I heard them yesterday on one of the talk shows, I think it was with Dwight, result of them taking some action and going down to the office of the Prime Minister, we heard that Harkid has responded, you know, they're going into cabinet and that, you know, now they'll have a meeting. Now, I'm not necessarily sure if they had to shut down to get that meeting,
But however, they will have that meeting sometime today. Let's see what plays out of that.
We hope they have a scheduled meeting today. We don't know if they will have that meeting.
Okay, they have a scheduled meeting, but yet they still decided to open before even having that meeting.
Yeah, because we love them and they love us.
You see what I'm saying? So why did we shut down yesterday in the first place?
I mean, because you have to try. I imagine, because I'm not in it.
They got a response from the Prime Minister.
What?
So that's the reason to shut down them.
Well, the groceries ain't shut down.
But the grocery said they ain't changing the price either.
Well, why they couldn't take the same position?
I think they have.
Well, they have now. But the idea is that Mr. Halkita said they will be prosecuted and they will be fined. So some people willing to take that risk and say, well, fine me and see what happens.
Okay, don't worry, Indy, come with you.
That's a very slippery slope.
And then other people say, man, I ain't paying.
This is a very slippery slope because all of these entities, the grocers and the pharmacy industry, they have a lot of leverage.
It's not just that they have a lot of leverage. It's the nature of what they do. So you find them, right? I don't think the government could enforce it.
It's going to be very difficult.
I don't think they have the resources available to them or the capacity to do it, right? So you find them. And then you say, at the end of the year, if the fines are not paid, your business license will not be renewed. Mm. But which Bahamas could survive without the two major retailers in the country? Which Bahamas could survive without all of the pharmacies in the country? I don't think, right, like you cutting off your nose to spite your face. I don't think that end game.
And the grocers and pharmacies, they know that. So they use that to their advantage. You cannot survive without us. We know that the government does not have the necessary capacity or resources to be able to fill that void.
Absolutely. So let's get to Ian, and then we get to this text, and if there's some time, I can share my opinion. There we go.
Good morning. My opinion is basically that the country is a slippery slope, and I say that because the government's position is they're anxious to bring some level of relief. We're not thinking outside of the box, channeling, trying to find other means in which we can bring the relief. The businesses that you targeting are the lifeblood of the country. The small businesses are the veins that thrive the country to where we are now. In order for the government then to see things from a different perspective, I think they have to remember that we have an increased light bill. We have an increased national insurance. We have VAT, which is increasing. We have so many taxes that are increasing. But then when the government position is the reason that some things are high, because you continue taxing it. We're not thinking about ways to offset what we've been doing. We've been doing the exact same thing. The former administration comes in, we're going to tax. What is the VAT for? Is the VAT being paid towards the debt? Is this money, if it's not being paid to the debt or the principal, is this money being used to pay salaries?
So Ian, you're saying
these are questions.
So you're saying that this action, none of it would be necessary if the state was managing its resources better?
Definitely.
But I agree.
Look at it from a different perspective.
I agree because I like to put everything at the foot of government.
Yeah, yeah. But no, but that's it. But let's look at it from a different perspective.
Yeah, yeah.
We have cruise ships that are coming here in the Bahamas. If our perspective, if we are more leaning to be submissive to them rather than them being submissive to what we say, you can't access the Caribbean without coming through the Bahamian waters. So why is it that they now...
Wait, these Bahamian boats, no? How you deny a Bahamian boat?
We allow them because the taxes that we're putting on them to have a licensed boat here in the country is next to none. So those are things that we should have reconsidered. See, the reconsideration of these particular things is that they are registered here in the Bahamas, right? But when they go to the wharf, are they paying the my man them down the road who has the nanny truck?
Say that on the radio.
The nanny truck?
I mean, on this show. This one today. No, we have a debate. When the sport and the improv on. See, it's you who's caused me get excited here.
I'm trying to.
You know, I got you.
Septic tanks.
You only could get me excited.
The septic tanks. But definitely, if the cruise ships are coming in the port, we're opening up the ports now. We're increasing the amount of ships that are going to come into the harbor, right? So if we get those particular ships that are coming in the harbor, and all my man them would got the septic tanks that are going to come down to the docks, right?
Yeah.
If they now are contracted to remove the feces from the boat and the urine, that means that's an industry in itself. The dumps makes money. The guys that are parching out makes money.
Right.
So rather than them sneaking in our waters because you're registered here and you're offloading, you're dumping in this water. That's a problem.
So really what I'm saying is Because I don't think there's a refusal from the state to engage in this, right? It requires better organization, right? See, the Tourist Development Corporation, I think it's one of its main planks is to regularize the excursion industry to ensure that all vendors offering excursions to tourists reach a particular standard, right? And then have things like insurance, all kinds of other things in line. What we need is another sort of facility to assist other types of service providers, not recreational excursion providers, but services to the cruise ship, right?
Definitely.
For smaller vendors, who smaller service providers who are trying to figure out how to step up the game or become involved. Like, I really appreciate that. Let's get to this call and let's get to this text. Boy, Ian, you caused me to take a five-minute penalty on myself.
Man, Dan, I am.
Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Just talking away so long with you on your panel. And
good morning, Bremen. How you doing?
I'm holding, thank God. I called for one reason.
Yes.
I really wanted to continue listening to the show. But the person that talked about the ship and
the services.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
The thing is, let the ship carry their journeys back to the United States where they brought their people from. Don't fill our country with feces.
I got you, Bremen. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Bremen. Look here. See, Ian, that's a good point that Bremen made, you know. Like, one of the alternatives is you take it with you. Now, that's not safe. Another alternative is this, is that you have a waste-to-energy management industry.
We just make more money.
Right? Mm-hmm. Where you are able to safely pump all of that material off the boats to a facility where you could turn that into real electricity. Not BPL electricity.
My man them.
Real electricity.
My man them that pumping that. They become millionaires. Why? We have over 6 million tourists that comes here yearly. We have about 6 to 8 major ships that are going to be in our harbor when the cruise port finish. And you can imagine the septic tanks that are going to be pumping in and out that to take that waste off of that.
Right. And not just that, why run the risk of them illegally dumping? Why run that risk?
In our waters.
Yeah. Or in territorial
and then
waters.
We get contaminated.
Okay, listen, I got to get to the text and then I got to get to another question. Lots of texts here. First text, every business have different levels of cost. You can't set prices for businesses not knowing all of that. I do agree that businesses should be fair with pricing if VAT has been discontinued on items or duty has decreased. Sometimes the consumer does not feel that flow through. However, in my opinion, I think the government should let competition reign and not dictate price levels. I kind of feel that. Luby's a business person. I come from a family of business people. I am obviously the black sheep. I as a revolutionary, I trade in sea grape. But, I mean, the text has a lot of good stuff in it. Transparency. Do we need to change the way that businesses interact with the government? Do we need to provide a sort of private sector or quasi-governmental agency so that there's transparency in business for the sake of setting better policies and regulations, right? Do we need to know what your books are saying for the greater good of the country? That's my little socialist revolutionary self.
Statistics of mitigation.
But I don't know if it's proper for the government to know my personal books. Can you imagine?
But that ain't your personal books. You almost sound like an MP. You hear the MP say,
that's your personal business. That's my personal business. No, but you own a couple of businesses. Can you imagine the government say, I want to know everything you make?
See, that's what I'm saying. Something wrong with that.
But listen,
you just said slippery slope earlier.
I just said it's a slippery slope.
And we're moving from this free market economy. And I don't even know if he's that anymore. I'm start questioning what type of Bahamas we are. And this is clear that we need a national redefining of who we are and where we're going. And perhaps for our 50th independence celebration, we will now decide to redefine ourselves and that have a believability of all of the people inside this country say, hey, this is where we are and this is where we're marching toward and have so we all buy into it.
I still want to look at your books. I still want to know what's on your books.
Socialism.
I mean, that sounds really great.
I want to know how much the PLP make. How much money is in their bank account?
And in fact, see, I think this is important because you sitting here telling me, because I come back to you, I'm a Mitchell. This makes sense, what you all saying. Don't be looking inside my private business books, right? But then I think about entities like the PLP and the FNM. They're not non-profits, right? They're not non-profits, mm-hmm. and they're entities, and they're making money. And I feel like we should be able to look at their books, too. Like, I think that we need to have a national discussion about transparency and who should get to look at what.
But the conversation for transparency has been some time now. But we haven't had any government enact that transparent kind of particular thing going on.
That's because Bahamians don't believe in transparency.
They don't like you in their business.
They like to talk about it.
They don't want you in their business.
Right, caller, or are we pivoting it right now?
No, we can take the call before we pivot.
Okay, go ahead.
Good morning, caller. You're on the clock. And the Guardian Radio AM mashup.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, I just was listening to your conversation, part of it, as I was driving. Now I stopped waiting for my coworkers to come. As far as when we talk about taxes and where the taxes go and all that kind of stuff, I think it's a big misconception. We think that VAT tax is some special tax. It's just another form of taxation. And if you read the Constitution, all government revenue collected is supposed to go in the consolidated fund. Mm-hmm. So once the money goes in the consolidated fund, then the Constitution gives the government the authority to use that money to pay any government debt. That includes salaries, whoever the government owes. Mm-hmm. All of the money that the government collects that goes in the consolidated fund is used to take care of government expenses. That's why I think the politicians too is too bad. It's miseducate our people with their rally talks when they talk about what happened to the VAT money, what happened to this money. All the taxes collected by the government is constitutionally mandated to go into the consolidated fund. Mm-hmm. And as far as businesses being audited, I think under Inland Revenue right now, there's two audits on businesses right now based on their VAT filings. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. because they have now tied in customs, because you have businesses importing where they can now see that you import $1 million worth of goods. But when you do your apply for your business license or do your VAT filings, you say you only sell $100,000 worth of goods. But every 6 months, the government has custom records from customs where you import millions of dollars of goods for mm-hmm. sale. So the government is audit, Inland Revenue is audit businesses right now. It is very day.
Good.
So that is in nothing new.
Yeah.
I think more of us have to more educate ourselves how our country really supposed to work. And mm-hmm. start by reading the Constitution and see what that says.
Absolutely.
All laws flow from that.
Absolutely.
Whatever laws Parliament passed has to be in compliance with the Constitution. So the rally talk, what happened to the VAT money, what happened to this money, the VAT money goes into the consolidated fund. Ain't no separate account for the VAT money, for the customs, the customs money. All the money goes into the consolidated fund. Now the government is allowed to have more than one bank account to keep in the consolidated fund as part of the consolidated fund. So the rally talk, the politicians has caused it.
Thank you.
To miseducate our people. And all the laws online, we could go and read these things for ourselves.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Great call. And I would couple to the professional associations and organizations, right? Just what he's saying, you start with the Constitution. Then you have your journal with your Constitution printed in it. And you print your articles, right?
If you'd like to make a call, please hang up.
The Retailers Association, y'all should be publishing regularly, right? The Pharmaceutical Association, so that the average Bahamian could on their own start to piece things together. Okay, producer, we can get to this call. And before we pivot to another subject, here are some of the questions I wanted to throw out to you guys. Now, callers, you all stay right there. You may like these questions, right? We already sort of got to it, you know, will the 4 p.m. meeting happen? Is that in and of itself the victory? Did the BPA flinch? There's two new words I want to introduce here or reintroduce here today. Flinching and stenching. Mm. The grocers, retailers, they stenchin.
They stenchin.
But did the BPA flinch?
I appreciate the question, and I would love to know your definitions of flinching and stenchin.
Right.
Add to this. Go ahead.
So stenching is when you just holding on, buddy.
They're holding on. The grocers holding on.
Right. The wind rough. You know, like you riding with your daddy and he a little gassy, but you guys hold on.
Yeah.
You use stenching, buddy.
It's
rough, but you
grocers go. Grocers are definitely challenging the government. To their face.
They are.
Yeah.
Okay.
They stenchin in front of the deadline, I say it. You know, the ultimatum.
Mm-hmm.
And the question of flinching. Did the BPA flinch? And I guess implied in that, or was this the original plan?
Maybe they won.
Maybe they won. They got a meeting now because they didn't get any meeting at all. They didn't get no acknowledgement.
They got a meeting.
I highly doubt to open up.
No, but I highly doubt what you're saying in terms of if they won. That's not a winning rally there. You can see that because the first day when they say they closed, another establishment, which seemed to be a senior one that has the wholesale and retail, they were, so they quote-unquote said they were taking inventory, but they wasn't closed. So when the support should have been all of them working together in conjunction.
I remember that. This was the association.
That's my thing. Instead of everybody closing and saying to the government, this is our position. This is what we're saying to you, and we need you to look at it from this perspective.
Is everybody part of the association, though?
Most of them.
And then was that in and of itself a part of the plan? Because these guys, we got to go to this caller right now, because these guys slick. I would do that. I'd say, look here, now you, I need you as a backup, right?
Just in case.
You the good cop. Yes. I's the bad cop.
Yes.
Right? But let's go to this caller. Good morning, caller. You on the clock and Guardian Radio AM mashup.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good, thank you. How you do?
I don't think it seems as if the government is not open for discussion. You know, so I think, you know, the persons made the correct move.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, what we had is a much-needed tax revolt. Okay? Much needed.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you can't have an entity who can borrow money to pay their bills, talking down to a group of persons in this nation, who have to live in the real world. You know, they probably maxed out on the overdraft, you know, and they can't make a loan as the government can, you know, to pay its bills. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I got a question, right? But I don't want them people around the table to go diving under the table.
Mm-hmm.
Especially staying new.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Okay, now, here's my question. When are we ever going to see a money trail as pertaining to these government contracts? Where does the money go? Now, if the PLP and the FNM really want to be upfront, they will inform us. Okay, because I have a situation with these, you know, I have a situation with these garbage trucks right now. These fellas be picking up my garbage every 2 days. Even if ain't nothing in the bin, these fellas passing by.
Understand.
Them trucks need to be on the road if somebody ain't getting paid.
Uh-huh.
Okay, now, somebody getting paid too much. on that situation.
I got you.
I believe the government need to stop playing games and stop trying to be so heavy-handed in this exercise because, you know, the last time they made their major intrusion into a local business, we still have a building up on the East West Highway County store.
Yes, sir. Okay, then. Thank you very, very much.
Yeah, baby.
Absolutely. Thank you. Those are very, very important points made. The first is this. If somebody give me $50 for my birthday, and I tell my mommy, I won't go to McDonald's with my $50, and my mommy start talking to me and running on about austerity measures and how I need to be responsible with my $50 and school coming up and don't just go buy burger with my $50, and it turns out that my mother's plan was to use my $50 to go buy groceries for the house for the week, because she is short on her money. That's what the caller is talking about, right? You can't be telling people what to do with their money and you don't know how to manage your money properly, neither. Just because you're in a position of authority, you feel like you could do the sham.
But Aaron, we must take in consideration also persons in business. Not everybody in business, not because you see people walking through their doors or patronizing the business, that means that they are successful or they're above water.
They're in the black.
You have people that are basically just keeping that business open and just basically paying their bills flat.
Okay,
so anything that disrupts breaking even, basically. So anything that disrupts that can either tilt the bucket up or tilt the bucket down.
Okay.
That's a great point.
Listen, I don't want you all to not let me inside your business, right? But have you ever considered living on top of your business? Or living behind your business?
But we see some other foreigners that's coming here and do that.
But I mean, no, but when you say that, imagine this. Imagine that the global migrant model, right? Like that when businessmen set up these things, they tend to reduce costs, right? Find ways to reduce costs. And that's one of the most dominant models.
If you own the building.
What you doing running business if you don't own a building?
But see, I
can be honest with you. What you doing running a business if you don't own a building?
If you own the building, and see, we have to be realistic. Like I think what the caller said in terms of individuals that are in the country that may not have the capital or may not have the bank leverage. Like some people can give a call and say, give Aaron what she wants in the bank.
That's the majority there.
You see, some people can't do that. Some people are in business or started the business.
That's the majority.
The majority, like Ruby would say.
Hold on, so is the business model wrong? Did y'all not catch the play that the people who own the business was renting the business from themselves? Like, perhaps it's the perpetuation of an intolerable business model that's the problem.
Mm. You're 30 acres and your mule. If you never get that and you come in from the scraps and you're trying to make something happen, that's difficult. When you're using your skill and ingenuity in terms of making your business work, and where do you get access from? When we're looking at a government is not supposed to be a daddy, but he is supposed to open avenues and opportunities for you to walk in if you do the work. You see, this is the problem there. And even when you do the work and do what they say, then you still denied access to the capital. So then what do you do?
Absolutely. Listen, we got to go to a commercial break. It's a good conversation.
It is. And you need to throw in the saturated market that we have also.
Definitely.
On a very small island, and we only have a certain amount of people to patronize our businesses. It may be time to grow our population.
Definitely.
Possibly.
We can talk about population maybe today.
I can buy some soil.
They say growing population.
I can buy some soil because I got it's water. Only growing I do it.
Yeah, we can anyway, water dirt.
We got to go to a break. This is On the Clock and Guardian Radio AM Mashup Wednesday with Aaron Green, Cecil Newry, Ian Munnings, and Luby George. Y'all stay tuned. Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
Good morning. Welcome back. Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. On the Clock and Guardian Radio AM. Mashup Wednesday. Man Down Wednesday. We already had one tap on the mat. Ian already make me tap the mat once. It's going to be a great show. We're having fun in the studio. We're talking about the negotiations, ongoing negotiations between the government and the Bahamas Pharmaceutical Association and the Retail Grocers Association. Are we flinching or are we stenching? I think was one of the questions on the table, but we're getting a little deeper than that. And then I think it's about time to change gears. So let's go through all of the texts that we've had so far for the show and then we're going to switch gears. All right, another text from much earlier in the show. Aaron, when VAT was introduced, Christie had discussions for 18 months, discussions on gambling 2 years, yet people still say they were not consulted. We too political. Dear Texter, let me tell you what consultation is. It's not just talking to special interest groups. It's ensuring that those special interest groups do the work that you intended for them to do, right? We can see they had 18 months of VAT negotiations, and the people who weren't at the table are the people who are holding the bag for VAT, the consumers. In fact, they created a whole new organization in the midst of the VAT negotiations called the Chamber of Commerce and Employers Federation. That was, I wasn't there, of course, I wasn't invited, but I'm sure that was spurred by these talks, right? It's not just that they were having consultation. Who were they having it with? How is the information presented? That determines the capacity of the discussions that they're having. Another text, PM Christie had discussions with all about NHI. They was against it. All who? All who? Tell me all who? We need to understand that the government could never get 100 people to agree every time. The government can't figure out how to call 100 people at the same time and have a meeting with them. The government doesn't have the capacity to do the work that it has to do. Now, it's our job, Texter, my other civil society advocates, to help the government get these consultation processes under control. That's all. They just don't have the capacity to do it, and I'm not dissing them. They're just not structured in the way necessary to do it right now. Another text. What if the law says you can't go out of your yard for weeks? It did. You can't go to the food store or the beach. We had that. Oh, wait, the last guy did that. It didn't work out too well for him. If a law is untenable, then it's untenable. No, see, here's what happened. Everybody, the law was tenable in its origin. We know that it's temporary. We know that it's for a specific purpose. When it became untenable is when people wouldn't give us a sense of when it would end, and they refused to explain to us the specific purpose. Mm-hmm. That's when things got a little rough.
Give us the science behind it.
What's next? New law? Must install bicycle machines in every home and mandate each house must generate 1 kilowatt of energy per day? I like that. I mean, I like that.
I may lose some weight if you do that.
I like that. Just because it's spoken into existence doesn't mean it makes sense. But Texter, that's one of the things that makes sense.
You should patent that one.
Listen, because Grammy go watch her stories anyway. This time, Johnny could keep the AC running for her while she's watching the stories.
We're trying to get healthy. Yeah, we're trying to lose weight.
Yeah, man. Okay, another text. Ms. Green, if they close due to fines, other business people can fill that vacuum. No need to look at the books. Inland revenue, have your book information if you are filing VAT consistently.
They do.
Another text. Now that Columbus statue is gone, the symbol for the 4 RBDF Marines could go up. Well, their text,
what do I have to do with Government House, though? The Colonial House? What do I have to do?
Exactly.
See, everything got to make sense.
Some monument should go up, probably.
Some monument
should
go up.
Maybe in the museum, but again, like.
We ain't never have a new museum.
That's Government House.
They ain't going to ever finish Government House.
Well, no, the Government House won't finish. They're painting now.
No, that's painted. Not.
No, the painting means they're almost finished. They're painting now. The inside.
But the point is, it's Government House.
Yes.
Like, what is the connection between the fallen Marine soldiers and Government House?
Besides, the Marines don't even police the place properly. People just scale the walls and shoot people at the Government House and things. So they shouldn't be no one
else. Spider-Man and Batman
in
the country.
No. Fine. put them up to the Defense Force Base.
I was about to salute, but I agree with Cecil.
I would agree with Cecil.
I saw the buying snacks over the wall.
Well, I would have thought that we would have had the monuments of those persons out there by the Defense Force Base.
Where else
would
you put them?
Which Defense Force Base? Coral Harbor Base?
Oh, definitely.
Where you need a visa to go?
No, but the thing about us having there, they have toys.
Their comrades would see them every day.
Yes, definitely.
This is true.
I don't have a problem.
Whose budget should that come out of? The Defense Force have a big budget. If they wanted to honor those 4 people, they could spend and build that thing themselves.
They cannot afford it.
What do you mean they can't afford it?
You know how much it costs to wash the boat every day?
Who get that contract?
One of these by them who think that washing car and boat is an industry.
So question. So you're telling me that we don't have Marines that we have sent to school or have the skill. enough to know how to clean those boats. So if we're not doing proper hiring and managing, then we know where our problems are. I'm not paying you. I'm not paying a person two times to do the same job. That don't make sense.
No, what did you
clean the boat as part of the Marines job?
Every fashion of the Marines or whatever department they may work, they have the different departments in it. You have police, have the mechanics, you have this department, you have that department, it's the same thing. So there, if the boat needs to be maintained, then we should have somebody that work for the Defense Force,
Marines,
that the public funds are paying them every month, that they can deal with the mechanic work and the cleaning of the boat.
It's not just that, Ian, that point you made just now, like a woman, I'm going to take it and make it mine and give it back to you like a gift. The conversation we were having last week, this is the thing that I want to share with those people that took great offense to what I said. Y'all want to call washing cars an industry, right? But you still got people moving around with bucket and dirty sponge, as opposed to realizing you live in the largest archipelago in this hemisphere, and you should be a part of a thriving boat cleaning, heavy equipment cleaning industry. Right? Not no little, I jump in my car with my boy and we go over here and clean 20 cars and 30 cars a day. A proper industry, and it is ripe for it. The boats are registered here.
The largest in the region.
You got the biggest port. Stop doing scrap work and let's organize ourselves and take these brilliant ideas and help individuals turn their sweat into industry.
If I had a car wash cleaning 20 to 30 cars a day, I think I would shut down one of my other businesses.
But imagine if you had cleaning 20 to 30 boats.
Yeah, but you also should.
I understand what she said.
Because cleaning one boat would need about 100 cars to compare to that.
But we have plenty of behemoths doing that.
Here's the next point.
Not enough, because we have the largest boat registry here.
Here's the next point. I don't think we realize it. You shouldn't be paying 20 US dollars to get the outside of your car clean. That's exorbitant. And if the business,
talk about price control.
I'm not saying you should make less money. What I'm saying is if your business was better organized and the industry were better structured, then you would be making mortgage money being a part of an industry as opposed to making good money scrapping as an individual with none of the benefits and the protections of legitimized formal work. That's what I'm saying. And those guys out there who are doing that scrap work, you deserve better. You are owed more. Somebody owe you that thing.
Yeah, but where they gonna get the access from?
Me and you, man. The people. Look here. Every time I crack a joke on John Pinder, the former director of labor, that's what his job was. Mm-hmm. It was because somebody is responsible for helping ordinary Bahamians organize their individual labor to jobs, jobs to careers, careers to industry. Somebody's supposed to be doing that. But I have a feeling all of those somebodies are trapped on the union to politics pipeline. You see what I'm saying?
Direction.
There you go. Anyway, that's our music. We got to go to a break. We got to switch into our next subject. I may let Cecil hold the mic. Oh, I may hold the mic. Producer, we can take the caller. Hold on. Yeah, even if you have to hang up and call back. Hold on. We're going to get to you. I got to tussle with Mr. Nuri about this mic. We're switching into the second hour. You guys stay tuned.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.